Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Hamster Cast. We are, of course, the King of Carries first only, and therefore best podcast. And Mike, in these interesting times we're living in, we figured what better thing to do than to give the people what they want and come out with a brand new Hamster Cast episode.
Mark, the only thing I'm worried about is that there are going to be too many people trying to download this podcast. And in this day and age, when everybody's at home using up all the bandwidth, I'm a little worried the internet might go out.
That's a good point. Something I hadn't thought of. I think we'll be okay, though.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, you said it, Mark. It's an interesting time. A lot of uncertainty in the world. But if there's one thing that the people can count on, it's very high-quality, state-of-the-art production from the Hamstercast podcast.
That's right. No technical difficulties coming at all tonight. We have our FaceTime audio set up, one microphone, and I feel good about it.
Nice. So, Mark, give us a quick rundown. How is the coronavirus outbreak? How's it affecting your work life, your home life? What's the latest?
So, working from home now. Leah always works from home, so she has the office occupied. So I moved my desk into our bedroom, and I face our backyard now, looking out our big window, and I realized that we have a groundhog back there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, pretty cool. So I just...
How about that?
I know, it's awesome. I just watch the groundhog all day, and I let Leah know when he's come out into the yard to get a little snack.
Now, do you have a nice view of the fence that we all built for you?
I do, of course. Great view of the fence. Yeah, the groundhog buries under it and then climbs up into that hill with the ivy on it, and he lives back in there.
Oh, that's nice. Are you guys worried about this groundhog terrorizing your yard, or are you guys more happy to have him there?
Not at all. We've had much worse. You know, we've had rats, mice,
and
snakes.
Has been over at your house, so.
Leah liked that one. I heard her chuckling from her office.
Nice.
What about you? How's the coronavirus world treating you?
Well, Mark, the big challenge for me now is how to coach a soccer team when we can't play soccer. So, yeah, it's, you know, we can't go out to the fields. We can't get the team together, the teams together. So we've been trying to provide still some stuff for the players, workouts, technical workouts. Gave them a video analysis assignment, it's really affecting us big time. Obviously,
are you guys zooming some practices?
Yeah, so we actually just had our first team Zoom meeting the other night, and so I have the older teams in the club, so they're all sophomores, juniors, and seniors. So you know, it's good to see them. And but one funny thing, so I was we were just kind of talking a little bit, checking in, seeing what's going on, and then sure enough, one of the players had made their background this picture of me back from when I was playing in a game for the Kickers, and it's like the opponent just has his hand smothering my face to the side, and I see, and the whole team is just cracking up. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I felt that moment made me feel really bad for all the teachers out there who are now going to be trying to teach these clowns via Zoom and all this stuff. So
little does he know, there's much more damning pictures out there of you that I'm sure we could send to him.
Yeah, hopefully they don't dig too deep.
All right, Mike, so... So what's our game plan tonight? I'm thinking we'll do a little bit of a recap from last season.
So you're just going to answer your own question there?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just flying. Right. We're going to do a little recap.
What kind of drink you got over there?
I've got this double IPA. It's a hazy. It's called Name Dropper out of Wilmington. It's really good.
Nice.
It's no, nice. It's no Falcon Smash, but it's pretty damn good.
There's only one Falcon Smash.
What a...
I've got a nice Hardywood Raspberry Stout over here. So
man, doesn't get much better.
No, it doesn't. It's the end of stout season, so I'm getting, you know, one more good one in before we switch over to the summer beers, spring and summer beers.
I do have one Hardywood Christmas morning left in my cabinet. The problem is Maria gave it to me and told me that I couldn't drink it and it has to be for Leah. So Leah hasn't drank it yet. And I don't think she's
Do you
going
think
to.
she will,
I
or?
don't think so. She's not crazy about sweet stouts. So
Christmas pancakes in your pantry?
ah. No, sir. All right, so let's do a little recap of last season. We'll go over, we'll maybe hand out some awards, you know. Awards, superlatives, call them what you want.
Yeah, some people were hoping that they would be called the cockies, but that got shot
Yeah,
down by the podcast
we cut
host.
that down. Yeah.
Too inappropriate. This is a PG podcast.
Yeah, that one came in through our Gmail, hamstercast@gmail.com.
What's that email again?
It's hamstercast@gmail.com.
Nice. Good way to reach out to your hosts here.
Yep. so we're gonna go over some awards for players for last year. And then you had a couple of games that you came up with that you wanted to do as well.
One game,
One game.
but a couple of interesting tidbits, if you will, from last season.
All right, great. So let's get into the awards.
Let's do it.
And we're back. All right, Mike. Let's get into our awards here. I think it would be best if we go in reverse order of last year's standings. So we're going to start out with one more snap first. And the award that I came up with for one more snap is the MJF, the most justified fathead. A lot of times, there's been times in the past where a GM has put in a lot of effort and still come away with a fat head, and I just couldn't help but feel for him. But one more snap, last in number of moves, last in fab spent. I don't know this for sure, but I would almost guarantee last in amount of hours watched of football this year. And coming in last place with a fat head. Feels very, very justified.
And the award that I gave to One More Snap is the Is He Still in the League award, because there were points where I just wasn't sure. You know, was he going to set a lineup? Was he going to participate that week? And there was a lot of chatter going on around the league about is this maybe his last season? What are your thoughts there?
Speaking of going back to what your last point, I remember there also being a lot of chatter about Dustin wouldn't set a lineup, and then all of a sudden, miraculously, at 12:55, he would set his lineup really quick. And so, whoever was facing him that week would get really pissed and just and then say, "Who the hell is telling Dustin to set their lineup? Knock it off." And I don't think we ever figured out who it was. Maybe it changed each week depending on who wanted him to beat which opponent, but kind of a funny
Yeah,
aspect.
we're not sure. So if you guys have any information on that, just reach out to us. What's our email again?
It's hamstercast@gmail.com.
And put the MJF award in the subject header of that email.
Back to your question, is he one foot out of the league? I don't think so. I asked him this exact question, and he said no. He said he's gonna try really hard next year and maybe even make a couple trades. Yeah, that's what he told me. Yeah, I can't make any guarantees, but I'm just telling you what he told me.
I will be shocked if he makes a trade next year.
Yeah, me too. Moving on.
Congrats, Dustin, by the way, on your award.
So since we're going in reverse order, do you want to lead off with the next one?
Yeah, who do we have next?
We got Jules Dash next.
Oh, Jules Dash. Yeah, so my co-host here. The award that he won is most likely to make a trade. So I was looking back at the trades made throughout last season, and we'll get into a little bit more detail on that. But Mark was involved in 60% of the trades that were made
Wow,
league-wide last year.
that's
Yeah,
an incredible
so
stat.
it is an incredible stat. It shocked all of us, and so it's a very, very deserving award.
Man, I'm proud of that, you know?
Yeah,
I'm just trying to stay active.
it shows you know you're committed, you're trying to make your team better, and we'll talk in a little bit more detail about that after we're done getting through all the awards.
So for Jules Dash, I gave myself the Arsenal Award, and that is
Okay.
because I completely fell apart this season. I started off 3 or 4 games into the season, I was in first place, leading the league in points. I lost something like 8 of the last 9 or something like that, and just totally fell apart after Mahomes' injury. It was a really, really bad performance. And you know, I have my regrets. Of course, there's always injury luck involved, but I also made some mistakes along the way.
What mistakes were these?
Well, I didn't think you would ask that question, so I don't really have anything prepared. So just to give our audience a little peek into the recording. Yahoo took away their main interface that we always use, so I wasn't really able to get a great look at my team and all the moves I made that you would get to look at throughout the season. Otherwise, I would have a really good answer there, so I don't
Yeah,
remember.
so I'm actually, you know, Mark, while you were talking there, I just very quickly pulled up the option on that Yahoo portal to look at all of the transactions made throughout the year. So
So yeah, I don't remember specifically what I did that was so bad, but I remember thinking I really fudged up in a few different places.
insight into that a little bit when we talk about the trades.
Right, good. I really don't remember anything, so that'll be fun. All right, next up, we got Arch Nemesis. And he has earned the award Streak. Of course, we all know about his streak of never winning a playoff game. Now, 10 years into the season or into the league or whatever we are, something like that. Pretty impressive streak. Not only that, he's got another much more impressive streak that I don't think you're aware of, Mike. So every time Schneids moves to a new place, the team at that place wins a championship within 2 years. So, dating back to college, moved to Boone, national championship in football, moved to Chapel Hill, national championship in basketball. Moved to China, didn't root for anyone. Moved back to Chapel Hill, another national championship for basketball. Moved to St. Louis, Stanley Cup for the Blues. And then, to top it off, the St. Louis fans, since the Rams have left, are Chiefs fans. And so now, not only does he have the Blues Stanley Cup, he also has the Chiefs Super Bowl.
Really impressive streak.
Yeah.
So how many moves was that?
I don't know. I lost count somewhere along the way, but pretty damn
A
impressive,
really
right?
impressive number of moves.
Yeah. So that's all I got.
That's a great award, you know.
The streak award. Everyone likes a good streak.
You know, the streak that everyone is more familiar with, right, is the he has never won a playoff game, right? Either in the actual playoffs or in the consolation playoffs. Is that correct?
Actually, I hate to shit on your point, but he won a consolation playoff game last year.
So that's when he broke that streak?
Yeah. That's why I didn't say that, but yeah.
All right. Well, it's good that he has a new streak going.
Yeah. I feel like you don't appreciate his new streak, but that's okay.
I do. I feel like I want to know the number of moves and championships that were involved.
I mean, we just list them off.
Nah, let's move on. Congrats, Schneider. Great streak.
Do you have one for Schneids?
No, I don't.
All right. Next up is Shriver's coach. If you want to lead this one off.
Oh, I gotta give myself the award first.
Yeah.
All right. So I gave myself the he really went for it award. So I started the season 1-5, and. Obviously, as every league member knows, I am infamous for my history of tanking, and I was steadfast that I wasn't going to do it. I wanted to make the playoffs. I made a home run attempt, or I took a swing for the fences attempt, and made a trade to really go for it. I finished the season 5-8. I came up a little bit short. But, you know, I feel like I really went for it. You know, I put it all out there, even starting 1-5. You know, a younger me might have just thrown in the towel, started selling off his assets, stockpiling pieces for next year. But I went the opposite direction, and, you know, I feel good about it. I gotta say I feel good about it. So I'm happy with the award that I won, as bestowed upon by myself. And, that's it.
Yeah, I think you should feel good about it, Mike.
Thanks, man.
That's, you know, when you had the tanking problem, we of course had the public shame factor, which always works, and we made sure through public shame that won't ever happen again. And my award for you was right up that same alley, best trade of the year award.
Ooh.
When you traded for Secret, Derrick Henry, I think it's pretty clear that if you hadn't made that trade, you would have wound up with the fat head. So, I mean, you know, is there any better payoff than that? I don't think so.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark. And, you know, like I just alluded to, I made that trade actually trying to make the playoffs, not so much thinking I was just doing it to avoid the fathead, but I think you're right. As Derrick Henry went on to have an incredible second half of the season, he probably saved me from at least being right down there with one more snap for the fathead.
No doubt about it, Mike. One last thing before we move on.
Sure.
Your team name is a little outdated.
Yeah, I was hoping you wouldn't bring that up.
It's not accurate.
I know. Got a little bit lazy.
Yeah.
Doesn't
take that long to come up with a new relevant team name.
Yeah. We're, you know, there's been a big talks internally in our offices. You know, we're going to fix that going into next year, and we're going to have a name that not only we can be proud of, that brings hopefully some humor and enjoyment for the league, but it's also actually makes sense.
Glad to hear, Mike. All right, moving on. Next up, we got reverse creep back. The creep back, the new corporate guy himself, I gave him the award of the dynamic duo award.
Okay.
And This is, of course, a reference to our Summer Heat rec soccer team, where Shriver and Seas make up the dynamic duo and probably the best duo in the league. Combined, they average 4.5 goals a game, and they are something to watch.
Yeah, what position do you play on that team?
So I'm the keep, so I get a really good view of watching the duo do their thing.
Yeah, you know, I've heard great things about that duo. You know, both players, and if you look at their combined careers in soccer, they've played professionally. They've played at a D1 college. You know, they've competed for a national championship. They've scored goals at the professional and Division I college level. You know, it's what to be expected that as combined, these two players are just tearing up that summer league.
Mike, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, they just can't be stopped, especially factoring in not only athletically, but when you look at socially, you know, the amount of keg stands that they did combined in college, the amount of beer bongs that they've done combined. It's really weird that you could have two people that have partied that hard and accomplished that much in soccer, but the dynamic duo pulled it off.
Yeah, pretty impressive. Great award. What do we got next?
All right, next up, QB Who.
QB Who. So the award that I gave, and QB Who, that is Sean, our resident bartender, sorry, bar owner. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But I gave Sean the biggest disappointment award. So something that he is familiar with throughout his life. You know, Sean, we expect him to be competitive every season. You know, he always makes savvy moves. He's not always the one making all the trades, all the waiver wire pickups, but he seems to just always be there in contention. And this year, I just got to say, I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, I will say, I think you're being a little hard on him. Segueing into the award that I came up with for QB Who, and that is the No Such Luck Award. It's easy to forget that he drafted Andrew Luck in probably the first round, if I had to guess, maybe the second. And, you know, no one could have seen Luck's retirement coming. And he really never recovered from that. And factoring that in with King Fisher opening, it's kind of excusable.
Yeah, you're probably right. Probably right.
All right, next up. You got Dante's Pettis.
Do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. So the award, yeah, can you, whatever, you're making a lot of noise over there, man.
All right, sorry about
that.
You're
just like pouring a lot of drinks.
I'm pouring one.
Oh, it feels like a lot. Dante's Pettis, the award I gave him was shittiest team name. So not only is his team name not relevant because he cut Dante's, the guy who he named Dante's Pettis after, I don't even think he cut him maybe after one game, maybe two. And not only that, it doesn't really, so is he playing on like a Dante's penis joke or what's the joke there?
So I'm glad you gave him that award, Mark, because I gave him the what does his team name mean again award? And I couldn't remember. I think he explained it to me one or two times, but I really couldn't remember. It's who was the player? He was the San Francisco 49ers.
I think his name is Dante Pettis, right?
Yeah, and so I'm not sure.
If his name was pronounced Dante Penis, then Dante's penis would make sense, or Dante's Pettis. I don't get it.
Real quick, I'm going back through the league transactions, and on October 23rd, Shriver dropped Dante Pettis. So somewhere back in here, Matt's namesake.
Man, what a shitty team name.
Yeah, we're gonna have to fix that one going into next year. So the Callahans, really off year for the team names in the Callahan household.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's normally what you guys excel at.
Yeah, I feel like we usually bring some witty banter, you know, with our team names, and this year we really let everyone down.
All right, Mike. Next up, I'll let you lead this one off. We got FFC Dual Threat.
FFC Dual Threat, the award that he won from me was the what could have and should have been award. So he had a real quick, just looking here, Dante's, oh never mind, I thought I found it. Yeah, so FFC Dual Threat, he won the what could have and should have been award. He had a great team. He had the best quarterback duo in the league. He had Lamar Jackson just taking the lead by storm. I thought he was going to win it all, and he just came up a little bit short.
Yeah, Mike, I'm right there with you. I gave him the 07 Suns Award.
Ooh.
Yeah, the clear best team in the league, but for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. And the worst part about the 07 Suns is they didn't even make it to the conference final, and kind of like C's not even making it to the semifinal. They somehow lost really early in the playoffs, even though they were the best team, and they'll just forever be forgotten, which is really sad.
Yeah, and to make matters worse, he lost to one of his arch rivals, City Football Team.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
So that
stung
hurts
for sure.
Yeah. Who ended up going all the way to the championship. So he not only got knocked out after having what most people considered to be the most talented team in the league, but then he had to watch his rival go all the way to the championship game.
That hurts.
That hurts.
All right, next up, we got the real Mike A. And for the real Mike A, I gave him the Rookie of the Year Award. I know a lot of listeners right now are probably thinking to themselves, well, he played the previous year too. He did, but it was a shortened stint. He came in maybe a quarter of the way through the season and was never really given a fair shot at it. So this is his first year attending the draft, deciding on who he gets to keep. And he had a great team. For a while there, I thought he was going to go all the way, and just really, really impressed by his effort.
Yeah, I gave him the New Guy Means Business Award. So there were a lot of question marks, and I was living with him at the time when he still lived in Richmond. A lot of question marks that if he could really hang with this competitive of a league. You know, he came in, ended up getting the fat head. Thank God he moved to Idaho, so I don't have that up. Didn't have to have that up in my house. You know, a lot of questions going around, a lot of chatter. Is this new guy? Does he really mean business? And this year he showed, yeah, I mean business. He had a good team, competitive team. Finished first in the league. Got a bye. And you know, only was ousted by Zane in the semifinal.
Yeah, I thought about giving him the Derrick Rose Award because he had so many really bad injuries, and I ultimately decided on Rookie of the Year. But if you look at his injury to staff, really impacted Kenny G and obviously staff who's injured. So I feel like he's probably just looking back thinking, you know, what could have been had staff stayed healthy.
All right.
We'll cut that one in post. All right. Next up, Weed Smokers. You want to take this one, Mike?
No, I think you should lead this one off, Mark.
All right. I'll lead this one off. I'm giving Weed Smokers the award Ultimate Upside.
Okay.
I love looking at Jordan's roster every year. It's always just loaded with dudes who are uber talented, but just not in a good position or not in a good spot. And just so much upside on this roster across the board. It pays off sometimes. But and he had a really good regular season. But it's not a tried and true theory. When you come to the playoffs, you want to look more for the situational advantages rather than just the talent. But I love that Weed Smokers doesn't agree with that.
Jordan does have a knack for seeing the upside in players that I think the majority of the league does not. So a great award for him there.
All right, next up, we got City Football Team. Do you want to take this one?
I think you got it.
All right, City Football Team. I gave him the Nerd Villain Award. Of course, he's always been the nerd villain, but to be honest, he kind of disappeared for a while. He didn't make the playoffs for 5 years in a row, believe it or not. It's hard to do in a league where half the teams make the playoffs. Didn't make the playoffs for 5 years in a row and was kind of quiet when his team sucked. Last year, his team was good again and he was talking shit. And we love to root against him. And the league, I think, is more fun when the nerd villain is doing well and talking shit on the group chat.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Mark. He's the villain that the league needs. He's the villain that the league deserves. He hates on other people's teams. He overvalues his own team. If you've ever tried to make a trade with him, and which I did this year, but it's like pulling teeth. It is a tough process. It'll make you question a lot of things as you go through it. And I think it's a great award for him, Mark.
All right, and last but certainly not least, the champ. We're toast.
Champ himself.
What do you have to say about We're Toast?
So we're toast. Obviously, a huge championship for his franchise. And I gave him the award, the 2004 Greece Award. And this is, I don't know, for all you non-soccer fans out there, in 2004, Greece hosted the European Championships, and they went on and won the title. It was an incredible underdog story. And, for Zane, he doesn't have a history of success in the league, but he pulled this one off. He had a good team. And just like Greece in 2004, he ran. Took his momentum, ran with it. His team was playing with a ton of confidence, and he took home the title.
He did, Mike. I wouldn't necessarily agree with you that it was an underdog story, except for the fact that he just had twins that he was dealing with the whole time. And, that just adds to it in my mind. Really, really happy for Zane. He's been through a lot. Really had some tough years there. Seemed to be always in sort of fathead contention many years in a row. And to see him come through and against the nerd villain, I mean, let's be honest, how many of us were rooting for Zane in that championship game, am I right? So
Everybody.
yeah. So just hats off to Zane. Really happy for him. All right, Mike, I think it's time that we wrap this up. Transition to our game. And we're back, Mike. All right, you want to kick it off with our new game?
It's a fitting song, Mark. You can't talk about Tom Brady we can't talk about football without talking about Tom Brady and the separation from the Patriots. You know, it's the end of the road, as the Boyz II Men, as they sang to us so beautifully back in the 90s. So we're going to play a game, a Tom Brady-related game, and it's called Who Gets Drafted First Next Year, Tom Brady or... And I want to hear your thoughts. We're both going to make a pick here, and maybe we can put something on the line, who gets these right going into the draft next year. All right?
I'd be down. What do you want to put on the line? What would the bet be?
Well, so I've got six players here, okay? And it's who gets drafted first in our league next year, Tom Brady or this player. And we're going to guess right now who gets drafted first, and whoever gets more of those correct wins the bet.
All right.
So
what are we betting?
I think the bet should be some sort of live public embarrassing thing that we have to take a video of and send to the league.
So I'm already foreseeing some problems with this.
Yes, there could be manipulation.
The obvious one is somebody wants to see either you or me do something embarrassing, so they change who they draft based on our answers.
Correct. Now, what are the chances? It's March 25th. We're going to draft in mid-August or something. They're not going to remember.
Well, I mean, it'll be recorded and in the ether.
All right. I mean, we don't have to bet if you don't want to, if you're too scared. But
let's bet, but we have to say anyone who's listening can't go back and listen right before our draft. They have to just listen this one time. And they have to give us their word. All right.
Deal.
I'm down.
All right. Well, let's just play the game.
All right. Let's do it.
Okay. Who gets drafted first next year? Tom Brady or... Now, little context. Brady, he went number 42 overall in the Kings of Kerry draft last year. That's fourth round, sixth pick. He finished as the number 12 quarterback. All right? First player, Philip Rivers, newly acquired by the Indianapolis Colts last year. He was drafted number 74 overall, QB number 15, and he finished as the number 16 quarterback. Mark, who gets drafted first, Tom Brady or Philip Rivers next year?
Tom Brady.
I am also going Tom Brady.
Do I always have to answer before you answer?
I'll go first on the second one. Okay. I have six players, so... That might be a tie. It's a great game. All right. Number two, okay, Matt Ryan, drafted number 27th overall, the sixth quarterback, and he finished as the number 9 quarterback in the league. I am going to say Matt Ryan gets drafted first.
I'll say Matt Ryan.
Okay. Ties.
Surprised you said Matt Ryan there.
It was a tough one for me. Yeah, it was a tough one. All right, quarterback number three, Aaron Rodgers, drafted number 9th overall as the first quarterback, finished as the number 11 quarterback overall in points scored. Now, quick bit of trivia, Mark. Who drafted Aaron Rodgers last year in the Kings of Kerry League as the first quarterback off the board?
Oh, man. Dustin?
Nope. You're talking to him.
Really?
Shriver's coach. Shriver's former coach.
I knew that. If we recorded this right after the season, I would have got that for sure.
Yeah. All right. What's your answer?
Yo, keep that trivia coming, by the way.
All right, I will.
I would say A-Rod will get drafted first.
I'm going to say Tom Brady.
I think I was thinking of, did Dustin draft Aaron Rodgers the year prior? I don't know. All right, keep going. So, all right, so we finally have a difference.
Drafted last year in the fourth round, number 38 overall, as the eighth quarterback off the board. He finished the season as the number 15 quarterback overall. Quick bit of trivia, Mark. Which league member drafted Jared Goff last year? And if you would like a hint, I have one prepared for you.
I think it's Rich.
Very good.
Yeah.
City football team. Jared Goff took him to the championship game. All right, who's getting drafted first next year? Tom Brady or Jared Goff? It's me. I answer first.
Right, you go ahead.
I'm going Tom Brady.
This one's really close. I'm gonna say Brady too.
He's an interesting one, right? So he had a little bit of an off season. People drafted him as a number one. They got a number two. The offense didn't quite look like what it looked like 2 years ago.
Lost Todd
But
Gurley.
lost Gurley. But really, do they need Gurley? That's could that help Goff?
Good question.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, next quarterback, young
Mike.
gun.
Mike, do you think, would it be fun to also include non-quarterbacks in this game? Or do we only have quarterbacks?
Yeah, we're only doing quarterbacks.
All right, that's cool.
All right, next player, quarterback, who happens to be a quarterback. Kyler Murray, last year, rookie, drafted number 43 overall, the 11th quarterback off the lead, off the board. Interesting enough, one pick behind Brady. Overall and as a quarterback. Finished as the number seven quarterback overall. All right. First, which team had Kyler Murray? And then what's your pick? Who's going first next year? Tom Brady or Kyler Murray?
I think Jordan had Kyler Murray.
Smokers, great job.
All right.
Wow, very impressive.
So I'm gonna say Kyler Murray.
Right, I'll go Brady. Just making sure we have a record of this. All right, next player who also happens to be a quarterback. Sir Cameron Newton, currently unsigned. Obviously, he has been replaced in Charlotte. And last year, he was drafted number 15 overall as the third pick in the second round. He was the second quarterback taken overall after Aaron Rodgers, and he finished as the number 50, 5-0. That's 5-0 quarterback overall. Obviously, not the season that this fantasy owner was expecting. Who was that fantasy owner, Mark?
I don't remember.
It was the champion of the league. We're toast.
Of course,
Pretty impressive.
Mr.
Pretty
Panther.
impressive. His second round pick tanked completely and he still won the league.
Pretty damn impressive.
All right, what's your pick? Tom Brady or Cam Newton?
This is a really good one.
Yeah. Where do you think he ends up?
So, I think it'd be cool if he followed Riverboat Ron up north. Then you have the Chargers have been rumored, which kind of feels like a better fit because they just don't have anything over there.
What are the chances that he ends up in New England?
I think pretty low. They've
Really?
yeah, they're they've got faith in that Stidham guy.
Oh, really? Okay.
Who I'm keeping, by the way.
You have him?
Oh yeah, I've got him.
Nice.
Where do you think he ends up?
It'd be cool if he went to New England, actually.
It would be cool, wouldn't
Yeah.
it? It'd be
That's
really
my.
cool.
I think if there's anyone who knows how to use Cam,
Oh
it's Bill
man.
Belichick.
Yeah. It's one of those moves that if he made it, everyone would be pissed, but if he doesn't make it, no one's gonna really think about it. Every time, yeah, every time he does something, everyone in hindsight's like, man, that's such a great Belichick move, you know?
Let me ask you something. So, as one of the most staunch Brady, can we call you a Brady hater? I think we can.
Hater is
So,
a strong word, but yeah, we'll go with
Brady
it.
non-believer.
Yeah, there you go. I'm good with that.
So, how great would it be for you if like Andy Dalton went to the Patriots?
That would be great. I mean, I think they do really well. I don't know. I feel like Cam would do really well. It's hard to imagine someone going there and not succeeding, you know? Can you, like, who would you, how do you think they're gonna be next year?
If you asked me this question right now, and you said, "Hey Mike, if you had the choice, you can either bet money on the Patriots making the playoffs or not bet money on the Patriots making the playoffs." I'd bet money on the Patriots making the playoffs. So, I think whoever goes there, they're gonna make the playoffs. What that looks like from like a how good the quarterback is and how much of an impact he has on how why they make the playoffs, I don't know. But
Sounds like a really long non-answer.
just hope Brady does well in Tampa.
Yeah, we'll see.
Right, so you got to make your pick. Who gets drafted first next year? Tom Brady or Cam Newton?
I'll say Brady. I think you're gonna win that one. If he gets a starting job, you'll win that one.
He's getting a starting job.
We'll see.
All right, that wraps it up. So we've got three, Philip Rivers, Matt Ryan, and Jared Goff that we all agree on. We've got, Mark, you think Aaron Rodgers gets drafted first? I think Tom Brady. We've got Mark, you think Kyler Murray gets drafted first? I think Tom Brady. And then we've got, you think Tom Brady gets drafted first, and I have Cam Newton going first. So there you have it. The first ever Tom Brady who gets drafted first game on the Hamster Guys podcast. Moving on. Bit of interesting trivia from last season. So, as I mentioned earlier, Mark won the most likely to make a trade award. He was involved in 60% of the league trades last year.
Really?
Mark, here's a bit of trivia. How many trades were made last season? Do you want an over under?
Yeah.
All right. Over under 8 trades.
That was actually going to be my guess, was eight. Nine. Over.
Incorrect. Only five trades made last season.
Wow.
Yeah, a little disappointing to see that actually.
I guess that would make sense if that's an if I was involved in an even 60%.
Yeah, but I might have rounded. You didn't know
Yeah,
that.
you never know with a rounding Callahan.
So I'm gonna run through the five trades that were made last season. Okay? I'm gonna give you the date and the teams that were involved and the players. So September 19th,
I feel like
City
we
Football.
Isn't that like kind of, it's kind of bad, right? Shouldn't we have more trades than that?
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Five trades
Yeah.
all year, 12 teams.
Five trades.
I'm gonna
Dustin
step
is a
that up.
big problem for that, you know? You
Yes.
can't trade with him.
Impossible.
Impossible to trade with Dustin.
There are still 11 other guys, but
Yeah, but let's put this on Dustin, you know?
yeah, I agree.
Dustin, we expect more out of you next year. September 19th, first trade of the season. City football team receives Allen Robinson and Antonio Brown. Jules Dash receives Juju Smith-Schuster and Scary Terry, what's his last name? McLovin?
McLaurin.
McLaurin. Yeah. How did that trade turn out for you?
If actually, I feel like we both kind of lost that trade. It was I think 24 hours after we made that trade, Antonio Brown got cut. So it looked like I was the clear winner, and then Smith-Schuster just sucked all the year, and McLaurin's quarterback got benched, and he sucked. So I think it was lose-lose.
It seemed like you were winning that trade for sure. Obviously, once Antonio Brown was released and Terry was doing pretty well, but yeah, A-Rob kind of turned it on, and he didn't go get much out of Juju. Second trade of the season, September 25th. Dual Threat receives Sterling Shepard. The real Mike A receives Andy Dalton, a real snoozer of a trade. I just checked, and Dual Threat did not even have Sterling Shepard on his roster anymore at the end of the year. The real Mike A also did not have Andy Dalton on his roster at the end of the year. Not sure what to think about that one.
Feel like that was one of those emergency for both teams, just kind of happened to work out for what the current need was, and I don't think either one has any regrets.
This was the big one. October 10th. This was the he really went for it. This was how I won that award. Yeah, he really went for it trade. I received from City Football Team Derrick Henry and Julian Edelman and Richie's seventh round pick. He received from me Adam Thielen, T.Y. Hilton, and my second round pick for 2020. Mark, can you give us your thoughts on that trade?
Yeah, I touched on it earlier. I thought it was for you as the best trade of the year. For Richie, I don't agree with it at all. I think it was a bad trade philosophically. He had Christian McCaffrey, and he had a good team, and he essentially traded away one of his top two or three players for next season. Really early on in the year, which just seemed like a really weird move.
Now, would you say that Richie made the championship game because of that trade or in spite of that trade?
In spite, Mike.
Couldn't agree more, Mark. All right, moving on. On November 6th, big surprise, who else was involved in this trade? Jules Dash received Travis Kelce from Reverse Creepback, who received Darren Waller, the Wall guy. A tight end trade here. Mark, give us your thoughts. How did this work out for you?
This one made a lot of sense at the time. I was ramping up for the playoffs. It looked like Shriver was missing the playoffs. Kelsey's better. And early pick, Darren Waller, I drafted in the very last round, so he's a very late keeper, and he'll be a really solid option next year.
Right, sounds like both parties were happy with that trade. Last trade of the season, 3 days later, November 9th. Big surprise. Who was involved? Jules Dash. This one, I am so curious to hear about this because I remember this happening and I can't figure it out though anymore why you guys made this trade. So, Jules Dash received. Jules Dash received Will Fuller, receiver for the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
And arch nemesis received Brett Maher, a kicker. So give us the 411 on this, Mark. Why did this trade happen there where you gave up a kicker and the commish gave you Will Fuller?
So this was one of the smartest moves I've ever seen done by the commish. So commish had a solid lineup that was very deep, and he had both of his IR slots filled, and he didn't have any kicker, and he needed a kicker for a must-win week. And I had two kickers. I don't remember why I had two kickers. But for some reason, I had two kickers, and he decided that my second best kicker was better than any other kicker on the wire. So he said, I'm about to drop Will Fuller. Do you want to trade me your kicker for Will Fuller instead of me dropping him? And I said, yeah.
Wow. That is
pretty smarty.
It is. That is a very smarty trade, but I gotta respect it. The attention to detail, the willingness to dig deep and make a trade that might give you the tiniest of advantages in your matchup. So that's the kind of commitment that we need in this league. So there you have it. Those were the five trades from last season. As we said earlier, you know, we're hoping for a little more action this year. A little more willingness to roll the dice and make moves that might benefit your team, not only in the short term, but in the long term. I think it adds a lot to the league. So hopefully we see that next year.
Totally agree. And as we already talked about, Dustin almost guaranteed that he'd be making some trades next year. So we have that going.
True. All right, Mark. It's been a big off season for the Panthers. A lot of free agency movement. I'm going to give you three players and their situations, and I want you to give me immediately the you get 10 seconds to give me your thoughts. Good?
Sure.
Ready. Cam Newton leaving the Panthers. Go.
It's sad, you know. He's been our heart and soul for years, since 2011, and I wish nothing but the best for him moving forward.
Teddy Bridgewater taking over as quarterback.
Weird move. I don't understand. Are we, if we're trying to tank, it's a weird move. I don't know. I'll be rooting for him. Weird move. I don't know.
Robbie Anderson, the elusive Robbie Anderson signing for $20 million, 2 years.
I love it. He's available. He'll be opposite DJ Moore. Some nice speed opposite DJ Moore. And I think Teddy B will have some nice weapons to work with next year.
Follow-up question on Robbie. Does he get drafted next year in the league?
Yes.
Is it before or after the 12th round?
Are we betting?
Sure.
I will say after.
All right, I'll say before. I think Zane takes him. All right, moving on. We're going to touch base real quick on some of the biggest fab bids last year in the league.
Your money.
All right, Mike, what do we got?
So, we've got the top three Fab Bits from last season. I thought this might be interesting to look back. You'd think spending the dollars that you spend, that these are big moves, important moves. So we'll see what happened there. Number three, the third highest Fab Bid from last season, happened on November 20th, late in the season, for $41. We're Toast picked up none other than Jonathan Williams. And if I'm not mistaken, he is a former Panthers player. Is that correct? Or no?
No, I don't know who that is.
Jonathan Williams? Really? Who am I thinking of?
I don't know. I want to say he's like a Cardinals running back. I hope he's not on the Panthers.
Bills.
Okay. Yeah.
Who's the Jonathan who was the running back for the Panthers?
Jay Stew, number 28.
Jonathan Stewart, that's right. All right, little tidbit here. So he outbid Reverse Creepback by $1. Reverse Creepback bid $40. And that week, Mark, guess how many points Jonathan Williams scored?
How many, Mike?
18.
Wow.
Huge week. And after that, in 2 weeks, he wasn't on the roster anymore. So wow. There you have it. Jonathan Williams humped him and dumped him.
Great move, Angel.
Great move. All right, coming in at number two, and actually we have a tie. Number two and number one were the exact same amount. Also, in the same week, November 20th, Reverse Creepback, very active that week. Obviously, he, as I just alluded to, he had bid $40 on Jonathan Williams. He didn't get it. Reverse Creepback picked up none other than Bo Scarborough. For $55. Now, Mark, if you can tell me what team Bo Scarborough played for last year, I will finish my beer on the spot right now.
I want to say he was a tight end for the Lions.
Incorrect. He did play for the Lions, though. Wow.
Nice.
he's a running back for the Lions. Bo Scarborough.
All right, finish your beer, bro.
He outbid Weed Smokers by $20, so it also bid $35 on Bo Scarborough. Last one, and this one came up a little bit early in the podcast. QB Who, Sean Armstead, bid $55 and picked up Mason Rudolph on September 18th, and we all know why that was. Big Ben coming up with the injury. Sean edged out Arch Nemesis by $3, who bid $52, and We're Toast, who bid $42. It was an important pickup for QB who had also lost Andrew Luck. And there you have it. Three highest fantasy Fab Bids last year. Jonathan Williams, Bo Scarborough, and Mason Rudolph.
Incredible stuff, Mike. All right, that about does it for this edition of the Hamstercast. Glad all of our listeners could tune in. If you have any suggestions for what we can do during these interesting times that we're living in, maybe we'll come up with another episode or two based on your suggestions. Feel free to reach out to us at hamstercast@gmail.com.
That's hamstercast@gmail.com. Again, guys, if there's anything, you know, especially interesting that you'd love us to hash out, league-related or otherwise, we'd love to hear your suggestions. Stay safe. Stay at home. You know, get on the Xbox. I hear that's the big thing now. And we'll see you guys soon.